Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
When Pastor Ash was preaching last week, he goes, "We've been doing this for about 15 years. So then I said, "Oh, that's interesting. That number just jumped out at me, 15 years. And then I messaged and called, or messaged Pastor Lou, because she's like the archives. She knows everything, every preaching. She remembers all of them. Shout out to you. And she said, "Yeah, we've been doing the God First series for about 15 years. I'm like, "Okay." So I asked Siri, because I didn't want to calculate it, "Hey, what was 15 years ago from today's date?" So it happens to fall in 2008. 2008. Guess what happened in 2008? July 2008, we moved to this current auditorium from a very small building two. I remember the day. It was all of us. We had multiple services in there, and we all crossed the car park like the Red Sea. We just crossed it. Yeah, the car park opened, and we crossed over to this incredible facility. 2009, we launched Melbourne East location. You've been to Melbourne East location. You know that God is moving in a powerful way in the east of Melbourne. Not only that, recently, God has provided the most incredible facility there. It's beautiful. I'm jealous. I go there. I'm like, I want more glass. You know, they've got windows everywhere. It's incredible. Natural light. We need some more natural light in our foyer. We also, that year, 2009, launched 5 in 5 Vision. Pastor Shane's like, "We're going to have 5 locations in 5 years. 2010 was the launch of Gippsland location. September that year, the Bendigo location. Pastor Martin went from here, which is Melbourne West, and went to start pastoring the Bendigo location. And not too long ago, a building was given to the Bendigo location. Here you go. Has anyone ever been given a house? I've been given a coffee before, maybe a lunch, but no one has ever given me a house yet. And in Bendigo, it's like, hey, have this beautiful, beautiful building. Incredible, incredible. Then in 2014, the launch of Melbourne North location. Go the North. Incredible. August that year, launch of Wangaratta location. And 2017, I love this because I remember it, the launch of Mountain location and Sunbury locations. Not just one, but we did it simultaneously. But because why not? Let's just launch 2 locations at once, which is incredible. And Mountain location is going amazing. Sunbury is at the healthiest it's ever been. We passed Dan over there. Then in 2018 was the launch of Hobart location. A location is very dear to my heart. I love Tasmania. My brother is at the Hobart location. I sent him off. I say, "Hey, go help Martin." Incredible. And that building was given to us. Incredible. Same time, Japan was launched in that year. Yeah? And I had the opportunity to go a few months ago to Japan, and what God is doing there with Pastor Tosh and the team there is incredible. It's so hard to find the building. Yeah, it's literally a maze. It takes you 10 minutes to go down the subways and go through all these tunnels. But people are finding Enjoy Church. And in a country that has 0.0000% Christians, people going to church, people being saved, people being healed. In 2019, we launched our Adelaide location. Woo! Adelaide represent. 2020, we launched in Cambodia. And what an amazing thing that God's doing there. I was there earlier last year or mid last year. And there is such a hunger for the presence of God and for the Enjoy culture. It's incredible. It's contagious. We went there and it's like, they're like teachers, sponges. Like, we want to know more. And their worship, hearing Enjoy songs sung in Khmer was incredible. I was like, I don't know how to sing this, but I'm singing it with you. And what Pastor Bunda and Beck are doing there, full service, they're going to second services. They want to launch more locations all around Cambodia. The favor of God is so tangible. Same year, Melbourne City location. We're in Melbourne City in every single week, it's going from strength to strength. And then 2022, the launch of Huon Valley. Because why not have one location in Tasmania when you can have two? ¿Por qué no los dos? Huh? Yeah, for us. Yeah. Make sure you're at the Covenant Keepers, because Asado, I'm biased, but Asado is the best barbecue you're ever going to have in your life. Church, these aren't just buildings. This is God building the local church. And the reason we've seen God do what he's done and his favor poured out is because so many enjoyers, just like you, have gone beyond God first as a good idea. Yeah? They've gone beyond it just being a mind idea and an intellectual idea, but it's gone to a deep and personal revelation of what it means to put God first in every area of our lives. And what it has done, it's unlocked fruitfulness and multiplication. Turn to the person next to you and say, fruitfulness. And turn to the other person and say, multiplication. That's right. You're very vocal. Right now it's on par with the first service. We'll see if you get louder. We'll see. In the same way that we see the journey of enjoy unpacking the divine order of firsts in our own personal lives, it's also a journey for us, yeah? But can I encourage you, they're not two independent things. There isn't a Sunday journey and then a Monday to Saturday journey for us. The enjoy story is your story. And your story is the enjoy story. And I loved what Pastor David Balestri said 2 weeks ago when he started off the God First series. He goes, the moment you said yes to Christ, you said yes to ministry. Keep that thought in mind. God first isn't just for Sundays. The truth is that we all tend to favor one of these areas more than the others. And if I'm being real transparent, we can sometimes withhold one of these three areas from God. Sometimes we withhold two. Sometimes if you're real stubborn like this guy, sometimes we withhold three of these areas from God. And I'll put my hand up. I'll go straight to the front of the line. Sometimes we say, yeah, I get that. I've got this revelation of putting God first in my increase, in my tithes. But you know what? It takes a lot of time to get there, to make money and increase. So I'm going to withhold my time from God because I'm doing that part. Or I'm going to withhold my talents. God's given each and every one of us a skill, but I'm going to withhold it because it takes a lot of time and talent to be able to give him the increase. Maybe some of us spend a lot of time with God, yeah? And God's presence, which is amazing, with family, and they come to church every single week, but they withhold the serving part, the talent part. They're like, no, God can have this part, but, you know, I don't really trust you with that. I don't know. They might overwork me at Enjoy Church, or I might be rostered on all the time. Just talk to me if you're over-rostered. We'll change that. For some of us, we're at church all the time. Our talents, and we're just like serving. But withhold our time with God. Our time with Pastor Ash preached it. Our time with God, family, church. And that can get upside down real quick. I've been there because I love being at church. I always have since I was a very young man. And I don't regret any of it. But then when that carries on and you've got a family and you're spending way too much time at church, that's going to go upside down real, real quick. And maybe you give all your talents, but you withhold the time. And you say, well, I serve, so I'm going to withhold my tithe and my increase. Is this being a bit real? Is it, can someone else relate? Is it just me that does this? Well, we're not alone. Because there's a pattern of this struggle from the very, very start. And you might say, the very start of what? Enjoy? No, go a bit further. The very start of creation. Right at the beginning of the Bible. See, I didn't go after you. Yeah? Self-control, Pastor Mick. Self-control. In the beginning, there was a promise. There was an invitation to trust God with that promise. And then there was a decision to take matters into our own hands. You know, with Adam and Eve, the question that was posed, did God really say that? And it continues down the line. You know, Abraham, given the promise to be the father of a multitude, of a great nation. And he's like, really? I'm a bit old. I would have said the same thing. I'm not like bagging Abraham. Like, really? Well, can you do that, God? And then instead of trusting, he's like, well, God, give me the promise. It's taken a little bit too long. So I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And if you read down the line, you see what happens. There's an Ishmael. And it breaks his heart because that was his first son. And he had to give it away. So we're not alone in this struggle of trusting God with what he's given us. It continues with Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob, for me, takes the cake. He's supposed to be the promise. He's the second son, but he has the promise of the blessing over him. And he does everything he can. He's very clever, very good businessman, if you ask me. He schemes and schemes and schemes. And throughout the entire Bible, there's an invitation. Will we trust God with what he's asking us to do? Will we trust his blessing? Will we accept his love towards us? Will we know that his provision is for us? Or will we do it our way and take matters into our own hands? We can choose to look at the reality of this pattern and human condition in the stories throughout the Bible and think, I've thought this. You know, if Abraham, the father of faith, can't get it right, yeah? What hope do I have? Has anyone ever thought that? Yeah? What hope do I have in making the right decision? But it's the wrong question and it's the wrong focus, because the fact is that God continued to extend his promises regardless of their choices. He still made a way, a rescue plan for humanity. He still made a way to bless them. So point number one for this God First series, if you're taking notes, is God first, the blessing. Fruitfulness and multiplication. We're going to jump to Genesis and we're going to go to verse 20. I just found it on my notes. So the first, probably 1 to 19, because that comes before 20, yeah? Talks about the first 4 days of creation, yeah? In that time, God, it says that God creates the sun, celestial bodies, separates the land and water, and fills the earth with all forms of plant and vegetation. Any vegetarians in the house? Aren't you thankful that God filled the earth with vegetables? Come on. No one said no, nothing. Like, there's no vegetarians here. I love it. So we're going to go straight to verse 20. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And 22, this is the first time you see this. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. I'm going to skip to verse 20 because I read this way too fast in the first service. 24, it says, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. Jumping to verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock, all the wild animals on earth and the small animals that scurry across the ground. And verse 28, then he blessed them. You hear it again. The first time that he blesses, and then that's the second time he blesses. Each of God's creative acts in Genesis that he blesses has a call to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. And side note, I love this. When God blesses someone or something, it's called an effective blessing. The meaning of it is that it brings into reality the thing that God is saying. It's not like I sneeze and you say, bless you, yeah? When God blesses something, it's an effective blessing that brings what he says into reality. So if he's spoken that over the humans that he created, be fruitful and multiply, it will come into fruition. God is the ultimate producer, but the moment he blesses a living creature, he gives it the opportunity and the ability to be fruitful and to be and to multiply as well. And when we look through, we look at the world through this lens, yeah? Anytime we see living creatures spreading, multiplying, and abounding, it's evidence of God's blessing. Be reminded of that. It's evidence of God's blessing. Excuse me. Sometimes I worry about taking a break, yeah? But then I remember, and I got nothing on him, and he's like, I can only dream of speaking like Dr. Frank DiMaggio. But I remember him taking 5 minutes. We're just looking at him. 5 minutes to get ready. So I'm going to be all right. We're taking a quick drink break. So several months ago, it feels like years ago, at the start of the year, feels like it was like 4 years ago, but it was just the start of this year in January. I took some time off with the family. It was incredible. We had there my parents and Gabs and Mary and my family, Vanessa, all the kids, and I was at the sea. It was beautiful. I love going to the sea. There's, you know, different people have different places where they are restored and refreshed. And I was sitting out and watching the sea and looking out to the vast ocean. Has anyone thought, how vast is this ocean? How deep is it? Yeah? And I'm sitting there and I'm praying about the theme and what I want to go after for creative this year, because, you know, we always go after a theme. And I'm sitting there, and by the way, side note, rest is good. The seventh day when God rested was the only day that he blessed. So for you, if you don't have rest days, you're missing out on the blessed day. So make sure, I don't know where you're at, if you're a workaholic, that you take some rest. So I was praying and focusing on this year, and this thought kept coming up in my prayer and study time. The word that kept coming up when I was looking out to sea and thinking of all the aspects of God's incredible ecosystem is God's blessing and abundance and generosity for me. And I could see, it's just like all this connected. I'm a documentary guy. I love documentaries. Like, you know, the world is tilted at 23 and a half degrees. Why? So we can have seasons as the earth rotates around the sun. And those seasons, when you get to spring, bring out an abundance of life. You know, when it comes to the sea, the spring seasons in the northern or southern hemisphere give life to algae, and that algae produces like plumes of plankton, and that plankton is eaten by the big whales and fish, and it's just an abundance that you would not believe the scale of it. It's incredible. Does anyone like documentaries here? Or is it just me? You're looking at me going, this guy, what a nerd. Yeah, Pastor Tammy, you said you like documentaries. Yeah, you like it? Yeah, what's your favorite documentary? No, Tiger King is not a documentary, mate. Don't watch it, Tiger King. This, Pastor Tammy, come on. So to top it off, I'm sitting on the rocks looking at the abundance, yeah? And I was thinking about fishing because I love going fishing, especially with Pastor Pat, our worship pastor. You saw him on the piano today, worshiping away. And not so much that I love catching fish with Pastor Pat, because he always puts them back. He gives them a kiss, puts them back. But I love who Pastor Pat turns into when we go fishing, yeah? Pastor Pat goes from Pastor Pat to Captain Pat. Can we get a photo there? Look at Captain Pat. Have you ever seen a man so happy with a fish? Have you? And Pastor Pat turns into like this, I can't describe it. His voice changes. He starts going, and I can see the currents and there's more water going this way because it's warmer on this side that compared to that side. And he starts explaining and he licks the air and goes, oh, the humidity is right now. We should go there because we'll be catching squid today. Yes, squid. He turns into like the Rain Man for fishing. It's incredible. And I'm just going, keep going. I'm learning so much right now. But Pastor Pat wasn't with me on my holidays. So I was thinking, oh man, I wish I brought a fishing rod at least. And lo and behold, it's incredible. And you're not going to believe me, but believe me. I turned to the side and there's two fresh fish sitting on the rocks. Well, not sitting. They weren't like sitting. They were dead and lying. But they were fresh. That's the whole point. They weren't like, you know, sometimes fish kind of, you know, wash up and they're rotten. And you're like, yeah, that swam the wrong way. Ended up dying. But there were two fresh fish. And I just laughed to myself. You know, I didn't think it was a, well, I thought I got two fish. I need five loaves. I'm going to feed the multitudes of Apollo Bay. That's what I thought. Let's go multiply this miracle. The point was that in that moment, God just, he kind of just said, hey, I got you. I know that it sounds silly, yeah? And it wasn't for me. There were two very angry like seabirds looking at me like going, don't touch my fish, because they had caught him. But the point for me was that I had the thought of God's generosity and his faithfulness in every area and period of my life. That was the cool thing. And I started thinking of all the times, do you have a library of precedents of God's faithfulness? Do you have a library of precedents when God has been faithful to you? Because I can tell you right now, your circumstances will change. Life will go up and life will go down. But God does not change. And if you have those written down, ready to go, you can proclaim God's goodness even in the times where you don't see him working. Amen. You guys are louder than the first. You've officially moved to... Woo, woo! I like it. Jesus says in Luke 12:22, do not worry. That's the title of this passage. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. And for context, like we don't worry about clothes and stuff. We probably have 10 jackets, and if you're hungry, you go down to wherever. You know, Woolies everywhere, Coles. The context of this is, in that time, it was hard to get food on a daily basis. It was hard to have clothes. And the context of this is, what part of your life do you worry about? Where do you have lack that is taking your attention from the ultimate provider and putting it on what I'm missing? Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storerooms or barns. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, don't worry about the rest. But seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you. Will we trust God with what he's asking us to do? With his blessing, with his love towards us, with his provision, with his promises? Will we do, or will we do it our way and take matters into our own hands? In addition, I talked about a blessing that's overarching, yeah, that God plants into creation itself. But in addition, what's the promise that God has put and placed in your heart, planted in your heart? What's the specific promise that God has placed in your heart? Don't give up on it and don't forget it. There's a promise, and that is that God is able to bless in all things, at all times, with all that you need. Church, this needs to be a revelation of God's blessing and provision, that all good things come from above. And we need to start with a revelation of where our help comes from, because if we don't, I can tell you the importance, I can talk you into believing the importance of putting God first. I can show you examples of God's faithfulness over 15 years. But I can guarantee you that life will get in the way and it will talk you out of putting God first. Turn to the person next to you and say, it starts with a revelation. Come on. Point number two, we need to go. This time is even faster than the first one. Point number two, God first, the partnership. The partnership is where God calls us to outwork with our time, with our talent, and with our tithe. So in Genesis, I'm gonna quickly go and not read all the verses, but he blesses, yeah, Adam and Eve, created in his image. He blesses them, be fruitful, multiply. But there's a secondary blessing. He says to rule over, to steward, to partner with God, because that was God's job, yeah? But God calls us to partner. And for me, it's incredible that he would do this with humans. It says that we're created in his own image. But for him to say, okay, I've created you, and I also now want to partner with you, is mind-blowing. That's how God sees you, as a partner. And I'm going to jump to the New Testament, because I haven't got time to talk about all the partnerships that God had in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, if we go to 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. There's an advantage there when I think about that. When we partner, so the Holy Spirit, when Jesus ascended, he said, I will send a helper. Wait in Jerusalem, I will send a helper. And that was a helper, but also a partner. A partner to help us in the calling you have on your life. If we jump to verse 13, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a superpower, yeah? Because in the natural, we got time. We've all got time on this earth. We exchange our time by using our skills, yeah, our talents, for an increase. And it's very additive, yeah? It's just 1 + 1 = 2, yeah? But when we partner with God, our time, our talent, our increase, and then we connect it to the promise that we spoke about in point number one, we see fruitfulness and multiplication in the use of those things. So now we're not working in the natural order of economy. Our time becomes more fruitful. You know, has anyone ever experienced like you're going into a conversation and you're just like, God, I have no idea what to say. I don't know how to deal with this. This is going to take my whole day, like trying to deal with this issue or help this person. But you pray and the Holy Spirit partners with you and you say exactly the right words that they needed to hear to have breakthrough in their life. And you're like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have no idea what I said because it was the Holy Spirit partnering me, speaking through me, and the Holy Spirit has helped you with your breakthrough. Our skills and our talents are amplified when we partner with God. Our provisions are multiplied. It takes away the need to strive. You know that scarcity mentality that we have across the world, yeah? It gives way to a revelation that we have a Heavenly Father that is both a provider and a protector. Now, I've got a whole bunch of verses in there that talk about our partnership with God, but we're going to leave them for another time as we go to point number three as the band comes up. God first, the purpose. Yes. If you put God first in your time, your talent, your tithe, and your increase, you will be blessed. Yeah, it's just a natural order of things. You in your personal life will be blessed. You in your family life will be blessed. But that's not the purpose. The purpose isn't for us to just receive a blessing. The purpose is for us to be vehicles of God's blessing to the nations. Not just to you, but to your family. You put God first, I promise you, your family will be blessed. Your spouse, your kids. You put God first, I promise you, the people in your workplace will be blessed. They'll end up coming to you. You won't even have to preach to them. They'll be like, what have you got on your life? I want that. You put God first, and you become a vehicle of blessing. It goes beyond that. It goes to our community. It goes to the nations. We see it all throughout the Bible. In Genesis 12:1, God calls Abraham. And the Lord said to him, and if we jump to verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. All right, this is the part that I want you to focus on. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All families on earth will be blessed through you. And as the story continues, we see God's chosen people, the Israelites. In Deuteronomy 28, there's a whole list of blessings that he's going to bestow upon them. Why? So they can be a blessing to all nations, a vessel of God's blessing. And as the story continues, Jesus, the chosen one, who's prophesied in Isaiah 49:6. And it says in verse 6, It is too light of a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserve of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And then, before Jesus ascends, he commissions his followers to spread the good news of his resurrection from the dead to the ends of the earth. And me and you are recipients. We're recipients of people putting God first in every single area of their life to be a vehicle of blessing. We know Christ. We have that life in him. We have a life that's fruitful and that multiplies because they were vehicles of God's blessing to the nations. And in the same way that we see this played out in the Bible, God is playing this out through us, through Enjoy Church, in a way that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend. If you would have asked, and I know that Pastor Shane has preached this many times, yeah? He would not comprehend what God has been able to do through Enjoy Church, through Enjoyers, across 25 years, but 15 years of teaching this, putting God first. And I see, this is a jump, yeah? It is a jump. I don't know if you saw that. Like, the church was growing. It was an amazing church, and it is an amazing church. 2008, we start teaching God first. It was like, what's the word? Exponential. Exponential. And not only this year, but this year, 2023, we've seen amazing growth across the locations. You know, Easter services were the biggest services we've ever seen. Salvations, baptisms. Why? Because God is good. The promise is there. Because there's people that want to partner with what God has, and that people that understand they are to be vessels and vehicles of God's blessing to the nation. God first. A revelation of the promise, an invitation to partner, and a call to be a blessing. And I asked you before, I said, there's an overarching blessing that God, you know, plants into creation. But I know that in every one of our lives is an individual promise, yeah, that God has put in your heart. And if you've seen that come to fruition, praise God. Praise God, be a vehicle of blessing. But I know as I was preparing this over the last few weeks, God was pulling stuff out of my heart. You know, like there are things in my heart that that I know that in prayer time and that have been promised to me, yeah, that I want to walk out and see happen, and I haven't seen them yet, yeah. But does that mean I stop putting God first because I haven't seen the fruition of the promise? We see that pattern all throughout the Bible. We see that pattern all throughout the Bible. And I don't want to take matters into my own hands. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be like, God, you're taking too long. Let me take care of this for you. I've seen it too many times in the Bible and in church life. If God has spoken a promise to you, it is yes and amen. That's what the Word of God says. It is yes and amen.